Brian Noonan is playing on the radio, baby.
The world can be a scary place sometimes.
You're zipping along in the left-hand lane, and all of a sudden, ha! A couch.
But don't worry. We know someone who can help you survive your week.
Noonan steps in.
He'll help you deal with problems of the modern world.
Yes, because oft times, naked men will show up in your house, shower, and then make eggs.
He has all the answers.
He is one for four.
And when all else fails,
I can do 1,500 jumpy jacks.
So sit back, relax, and allow Brian Noonan to drop some knowledge.
Good job, Noons.
Right here on WGN.
Ho, ho, ho! This is great!
Hey, let's just joke around and entertain 18 to 34-year-olds, shall we?
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Oh.
Well, good evening. Welcome. Glad you're with me. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Firmly ensconced, as always, in the Allstate Showcase studio on a bustling Michigan Avenue. Oh, everybody's out there sweating, trying to stay hydrated because it's hot. And I know Roger and the news people have told us all we must drink water and stay in the shade or else we'll burst into flames and die because we're not capable of knowing that by ourselves. But people are still out, and we are happy to see them about. Big show for tonight. Oh, man, a lot to talk about. I'm on a high. I'm not going to lie to you. But we have a great show. We want you to be part of it, as we always do. 312-981-7200. That's the phone. That's the text. When you call in, you'll be talking to Tom Hush. He's the executive producer. We've stolen him from Amy Guth for the night because Cody's work ethic is once again showing, and he is not here. But Tom Hush is here. And as always, if you're nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works, whether it's Cody or Tom or anybody else who's producing. You must be nice to them. They are the gatekeepers. And I trust them implicitly to let you through or not let you through. So if you have a complaint, well, blame yourself. All right. This is Roger. Are we under some sort of heat? Do you have any more heat-related advice that we need to give before we move on? Is it starting to get, as the sun begins to go down, can we hydrate less?
No, everything's
we should still
the same.
Continue to hydrate? Even
we're good.
Okay. I'm
know. Not sounding the horn. I'm not out with the banners.
No, Pete, listen, you know, I've heard you. Well, the other morning you were telling people to drink
well,
water.
Because it was the first hot weekend.
So if people survive Saturday and most of Sunday, we figure they know what's happening now, so we don't have to worry anymore.
Right.
Okay. So we only warn them about drinking water on the first hot day.
Well, a little ahead of time, yeah. It's like me being warned 24 hours ahead of time to stay off Lakeshore Drive.
Well, listen.
So we, 24 hours ahead of time, warn people.
There's
a
difference.
Really,
I think there's a difference.
What?
If you get stranded on Lakeshore Drive because of snow, that's one thing. If it's going to be hot and you don't know enough to drink water, well, that's a whole other topic. But listen, that's not why you called.
No.
We want to get into some other things because
yes.
I am...
I'm jealous.
Well, thank you. You should be. No, it's... I'm so... You ever have one of those days where everything seems to go right? I don't have them very often, and I don't allow myself to appreciate them, unfortunately, when that happens. And I take a lot of heat for that from my wife and family and stuff. They're like, why don't you appreciate things? I'm like, well, because I'm always nitpicking at them, and two, I maybe don't think I deserve them. Eh, whatever it is, this is not a psychology show. But last night was one of those nights where not everything, but pretty much everything went right. Last week on the show, we had Mike Shevlin on, or Tim Taylor was on with us, from the Irish American Heritage Center and the Irish American Hall of Fame. And last night was the 2017 Irish American Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And I was lucky enough and honored enough to be an MC. This was my third year MCing the event. So I must have done a good job because they brought me back twice after the initial run. So I figure, okay, that's a sign of confidence. They bring me back. So much so that last year, as you remember, I bought my tux.
Yes.
So I looked great.
And it still fits perfectly.
Oh, man. I looked like
$12, short of a million. Not quite, but I was almost there. I wouldn't give myself the $1 million mark,
right?
But I was pretty close. Then this year was more exciting, too, because my wife was going. Ooh. And she looked
she didn't go last year with you?
She broke her foot a week before the event, so she did not go last year.
Yeah.
So my wife was going, and she looked like $3 million last night. She found a beautiful gown. She was getting compliments. Women were just walking up to her and telling her how much they liked her dress. So
and then she told everyone that she was with you, and they said, oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, you know, they figure I'm going to outkick my coverage anyway, so that's nothing new. And then not only is my wife there, then my mom is there, and
what?
One of my brothers. One of my brothers bought a table through his company. He owns a company, and they bought the table. And so my mom was there. So it was all stacking up to be a great night and a very, for me, nerve-wracking night. Because anytime I do these kind of events, and I've done a lot of them, and I've met a lot of people over the course of what I've done for all these years. But I put a lot of pressure on myself to deliver, because I figure if people are putting their faith in me to bring me on to do these events, I want to do a good job.
You want to bring your A game.
Right. And I think most people would want to do that. Sure. You know, there's going to be some people who just coast, but I'm not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go in. So I've got Thursday we had a run through, and I had been writing all kinds of events, and people were like, oh, are you going to do stand up? And I'm like, no, I don't. Ooh. I'm not going to do stand-up, but I'll tell some jokes, because one, it's not about me. Two, it's not the Oscars.
Right.
This is not the venue. So they want me to talk a little about my Irish heritage. I'm going to make some jokes. I'm going to make it fun and accessible. So I had a whole bunch of things written out, and then we did a run through on Thursday. And after the run through, I thought to myself, man, I got to get home and do some rewriting.
Oops.
Well, no, it just, I wanted, you know.
Refining.
No, yeah, because that's, I've tried to tell this to my daughter, and I'm sure you've tried to tell this to your students over the years. You don't just write something and have it done the first time.
Yeah.
Nothing's done the first time. First draft, second draft, all kind of things. So I figured, all right, I had done my first, I had actually done two drafts already by the time I got to Thursday night. So Friday I come up, and for me, throughout all my stand-up career, I never wrote jokes, you know, verbatim on paper. I would come up with an idea, and I'd write a little bit of
a couple of ideas,
a couple words, keywords, and then I'd just work it out.
Okay.
Because when I write down jokes like I did for this on paper, they are not funny. I know in my head how they're supposed to sound,
right?
And I know I will deliver them and they will be funny. But if I handed them to you and you just read them, you'd go, eh. Because it's all
in the telling.
Yeah, it's all in the telling. Yeah. That's me. You know, I'm a storyteller.
I know you are.
I'm a raconteur.
Yep.
I'm a weaver of tales. So all of this is going on. So I have everything ready, and I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk. I want to talk to you, especially after 6:30, about meeting your idols. I know you've had a chance to do. Maybe you've had a chance to do this. Whether it's somebody, you know, a teacher you admire, so anybody you've admired. Right. And you finally got a chance to meet them. And I want to know how the experience was. Did it go as you hoped, or did it go terribly wrong? Did the person just, you thought this person was going to be wonderful, and they were a jerk, or they were as great as you expected, or you were a bumbling clod? Because we've all done that, too.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do this. And then I want to talk a little bit about this ceremony, because the people who were inducted last night were just wonderful. And I said almost everything went perfectly, but being me, there's always something that goes wrong. So we'll get all of that next on WGN. All right. So I were talking about last night, which for me was one of the highlights of what I've been doing for the last, it's a long time, what I've been doing, 30 years maybe. So I was emceeing the Irish American Hall of Fame induction ceremony, and some of the inductees last night, all the inductees were worthy of being in there. You have to be an Irish American, you have to have ties to Ireland, and you have to be a citizen, blah, blah, blah. So last night we had a John Fitzpatrick, who's a hotelier, and he's also chairman of the Ireland Fund America, great humanitarian and hotelier. Mark and Scott Kelly, the astronauts, the twin astronauts, they were inducted last night. Little Mo Connolly, who at 18 won the Grand Slam of tennis back in the day. Her career cut tragically short, won by a horse riding accident, and then she died very young of cancer. Her daughters were there with some of her grandchildren and to accept the award, and were just lovely, lovely people. The Kellys sent in a really cool video acceptance speech. John Fitzpatrick, his award was accepted by former Lieutenant Governor Neil Hartigan, who's now an appellate court judge, so he talked on his behalf. Father Michael Judge, victim number one in the September 11th attacks, the chaplain for the fire department in New York. He had family there from Boston. He had family there from Ireland. His cousin spoke on his behalf. His niece spoke on his behalf. They had a video. There's videos for all the inductees, but his video was special. A friend of his from New York put this video together just for last night, and it included Rudy Giuliani. It included the head of the fire department. It included all these people from New York who had been touched by Father Judge, who, you know, worked with the fire department for a long, long time. He was a Franciscan priest. It was very, very moving to hear all these people talk. But to see family members, and Maureen Connolly's family came in from Texas and all over the country. So they were there. Audie Murphy was inducted in the public service category. You know, Audie Murphy, Medal of Honor winner, movie star, most decorated soldier in World War II. And then Lawrence McCaffrey, who is a professor emeritus at Loyola University, who studies Irish and Irish-American history. He's an expert on that. He's a go-to for any sort of discussions on Irish and Irish-American history. So he was there. And then in the arts and humanities section, Martin Sheen, you know, I don't have to tell you who Martin Sheen is. He was inducted and did a wonderful video acceptance because he was already scheduled to be at some other fundraiser, so he couldn't be there. But he, from the set of his show Frankie and Johnny, had written a nice acceptance speech and directed it to some of it to Bill Murray and some of it to Cubs fans and all over. And then Bill Murray was inducted also in arts and entertainment. And if I have to tell you who Bill Murray is, I don't know where you've been for the last 40 years, because Bill Murray, I don't think I'm overstating it to say he's a cultural icon. Would you agree with that, Roger? Would that be an accurate statement?
Definitely.
I think yep. So, too. He's between film and television and just being Bill Murray. He is he's an icon. Mm-hmm. So, but all of these people, that's the thing. You're in this room and you're hearing the stories of all these people who are being inducted. And then, you know, having been there for this now my third year, seeing the people who were inducted in the classes before, and you're like, man, there are a lot of Irish people doing a lot of really great
you
things.
You were humbled.
I'm definitely humbled. And it's hard not to be. Mm-hmm. And then the Flood Brothers, they give a Hometown Hero Award every year to an Irish person or a mm-hmm. family in this case that are making great strides. Not yet to the like Hall of Fame level, but a mm-hmm. hometown hero, and it's always a local thing. And the Flood Brothers got that, and Bob Flood gave their acceptance there, and they were really nice.
And that's the same Flood Brothers. I see tons of trucks.
There you see tons of trucks. Yeah. You hear their commercials here on WGN. Yeah, the Flood Brothers. They're everywhere. And here's the thing. So Bill Murray, we all know, is an avid Cubs fan, right? Mm-hmm. There's no question about it.
He was at the game today.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's still in
town?
Yeah,
they showed him at the game, keeping score up in one of the boxes.
Maybe he's listening and he'll call in. Or one of his brothers who were there last night. We had a good time. Tom Ricketts was there because he was, I did Bill Murray's kind of bio little mm-hmm. thing. Then they showed the Bill Murray video. And then Tom Ricketts came up and gave a little talk about Bill before Bill came up to give the award. Mm-hmm. And there's so much to get to.
Take your time.
No, I do. I've got, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go on forever.
But I love this because we weren't there.
No, I know.
It was a...
there were 350 people there. It was sold out.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievable crowd. Everybody dressed, impeccably. All right, so... We've got a couple minutes. I will tell you the mistake, and then we'll get to the highlights, the feel-good portion after when we talk about meeting our idols, which I want you to start thinking about that at 312-981.
I'm still excited to hear about, because you posted some pictures about you and Bill Murray.
Yes, we're going to get to all that. The mistake involves Bill Murray, too.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm always nervous, as I said before.
Sure.
So Bill Murray's there, and one I know first off, there's no way I'm going to out-funny Bill Murray. I'm not even going to try. So I'm going to do my thing, and that's great. And he was the second to the last inductee. It was him, Martin Sheen, and I'm out clean.
Okay.
And to that point, I had been, things had been rolling perfectly. I kept things moving. The people stayed within their time limits when they were giving their speeches. The jokes I did write landed, bang, bang, bang. Everything was going great. And then I start to read Bill Murray's bio, which I had read, I don't know, 15 times over the last few days, just so the words were coming out of my mouth smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that right in front of Bill Murray was Audie Murphy. So I had been saying, Murphy.
Oh, no.
No, so I start Bill Murray. He was the son of, and I can't remember his mother's name. And I said, and as I said his father's name, I said, blah, 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 Murphy the second. And the whole Murphy table, or Murphy, the whole Murray table goes, whoa. And I didn't even realize what I said. And I'm like, oh, no. And I look, I'm so sorry. And Bill Murray stands up in a very funny way. And he's just pointing at me. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I made a couple jokes. And people laughed, and then I just went on, and so that ended.
Did he?
No,
he didn't.
He comes up on stage, yeah. And I shake his hand, and he goes and talks to Rick, and then he gives a wonderful, wonderful speech where, in fact, here's something I want to say that I never thought I'd say. I got name-checked by Bill Murray.
Wow.
I want to thank Brian Noonan for going on.
That was it. Bill Murray said my name. I don't know. Can we hear that again, Tom? Just, I can't get enough of it.
I want to thank Brian Noonan for going on.
Well, he gets a laugh, throw me under
that
the
That was butt. His little hesitation that he always does when you're not sure where he's going with it. Yeah.
So I got name checked.
Yes.
Which was very cool.
Does that go on the resume?
I think. but then, so the mistake happens. And after he comes off stage, I'm over there and I'm getting a picture taken with him in front of the big Irish American Heritage Center thing, which I'm going to get. This is from the professional photographer.
Oh, okay.
So I got one with him, and then I got one, Debbie and myself, with him. And I said to him, I said, I'm so sorry. And he's like, for what? And I said, the Murphy thing. He goes, you are doing a fantastic job. Really. He said,
no.
Don't worry about it. He said, people look at me all the time and they say, oh, you're that actor. And I say, yeah, I'm Bill Murphy. And so... He's like, you are doing wonderful. You're keeping things moving. Everything is great. Don't worry about it. I'm like, okay. So then afterwards, this is how I know it was really okay. I'm down in the pub and I'm talking to Joel Murray. And I'm not trying to name drop. It's just he was there for his brother.
Right.
So I'm talking to Joel, who had emceed this a few years before I did it.
Ooh.
And was very complimentary and really nice. Very nice guy. We're just talking about stuff. I'm asking him about some roles he's had.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people who works with him is there. And she said, when you said Murphy, I couldn't stop laughing. Because I want you to know that the Blackhawks, Joel was going to do a shoot the puck.
Uh-huh.
And the Blackhawks put Murphy on the back of the jersey. She said, so it happens to them all the time.
Oh, no.
And Joel walked up and she said, oh, I told Brian the story about the Blackhawks. And we love that. I'm not throwing the Blackhawks under the bus. It happened. It's all funny. And Joel goes, yeah. And I was like, so, you know, how long do I have to do penance? He said, oh, you have to do a lifetime of penance for that mistake. All right. So we'll get in on the other side of the news. Let's talk about meeting your idols. I'll tell you a little more about the Bill Murray thing only because you know, I think it's fun, but I want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. And you guys start thinking too, Tom and Roger, if you've met your idols, did it go as you hoped or did it go horribly, horribly wrong? We'll get to all of that on the other side of the news, which happens. Do we have a break before the news? We do. Happens in just a couple minutes. WGN. Oh, Billy Idol. I get it. Nicely done, Tom. Tom Hush sitting in for Cody tonight. We're talking about meeting your idols, 312-981-7200. I can't wait to hear from Barbara. Barbara, who'd you meet?
I met the king. Nobody can top me. The king of rock and roll. I met Elvis.
Wow. Where did you meet Elvis?
It was in Las Vegas, 1969, and it was we had gone to a Johnny Carson stand-up. He did, like, stand-up in
the casino.
I can't remember the name of the casino. And in the middle of it, he said, we have a special guest in the audience, Elvis Presley, and then he stood up. And then Johnny Carson continued with his routine. And then after it was over, we got up and we turned to leave the room. And right in front of me was Elvis and a couple friends of his, you know, entourage.
Right.
And I guess they were going toward the stage. Well, anyway, so he just stopped right in front of us and we said, oh, hello. And he said, hi, how are you? How have you been?
And, like your old friends.
Right. You know, and he was absolutely beautiful. I mean, it was like it was the end of the beginning, you know, as far as his life and how he looked. And so I grabbed the reserve sign on another table and turned it inside out. And I don't know where I got the pen, but he signed the I have his autograph. And he shook hands with us. And it was just, and then he left. And we were the only ones that he talked to, I believe.
Oh,
and
geez.
I actually found out later that that was the only show that he ever went to in Las Vegas, because he was always didn't like to go in crowds or go out.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine he'd be mobbed everywhere he went. That would
right.
be horrible.
Yeah, one of the guys he was with was on Nick's show and had written a book.
Oh, okay.
He had said, and then I called in with the story, and he said that was the only show that he had ever gone to see.
Oh, man.
He was there for so long.
That's
but
very
anyway,
cool.
It was,
well, Barbara, I'm glad it went well for you.
He just made me feel that he knew, the way he acted was like, for years, I thought he thinks that we were someone else. He was so, how have you been? You know,
well,
I think it was a Southern thing.
Yeah, I think so, too. But that's a great story. Thanks, Barbara.
You're welcome.
Take it easy. Now, here's one that didn't go quite as well. One year, my son won the Walgreens Cubs Bat Boy contest, sponsored by WGN. Yeah. They do not let you be an official bat boy. You get 3 tickets to the game, and he got to sit in the dugout with the team until the 7th inning. Where we all got to be honored on the field, plus he got a T-shirt. He was 10 years old and idolized Sammy Sosa. Oh, boy, here we go. Sad but true, Sosa was the only player who not only would not acknowledge him but refused to give him an autograph. Talk about a disappointment. Luckily, the coaches and other members of the team and Ron Santo could not have been nicer. So, overall, salvaged. But when you're... See, that's... I understand... I can see both sides of it, you know. I can see if you're a fan and you see somebody you really admire out and you want to approach them and get their autograph. I understand that. I also understand that while these people are in the public eye, they also have a right to some semblance of a normal life. Their life is never going to be completely normal because everybody's staring at them when they walk down the street. But I would imagine in that situation... How hard would it have been for Sammy Sosa to look at the kid and go, hey, kid, how's it going? He's in the dugout with you for 7 innings.
Yeah.
You can say hello. You know, he's not disrupting your game. If somebody is eating or with their children, then no, you don't approach. You
right.
leave them alone. Tom, you had an interesting, you want to share that your Charles Barkley story?
Oh, yeah,
Because that was very interesting, and it's a good way for us to think, because some people think, well, if you're a public figure, I have the right to go up to you anytime I want, because that's the life you chose. You chose to be in the public eye. Completely wrong.
No, yeah. Charles Barkley has an interesting sort of rule. So whenever he's anywhere in the public, if he is standing up, he will talk with you. He'll say, hey, he'll do an autograph or he'll take a picture with you. But the thing is that when he sits down, usually this is when he's at a restaurant or a bar or wherever he is. When he sits down, that's his time now. And you just got to let him be, let him enjoy being out in public. And then when he gets back up again, he's happy to talk.
Oh, that's right. Well, that makes sense. If you're walking in or out of the restaurant, say hi to Charles Barkley. If he's sitting down eating, leave him alone.
Yeah, just treat him like a regular human being.
Yeah.
You know?
I had that with, who was the last, the last Bears coach, the professor one.
Lovey?
No, not Lovey. Between Lovey and John Fox, the experiment that didn't go well.
Oh, man. That's
see?
My gap in knowledge.
I know. Where are the guys from the beat when you need them?
Exactly.
Anyway, we were out to dinner, and he was sitting at the next table. This is right after he had been hired. And I saw him sitting there. Well, he was eating. I'm not going to say anything then. But we were both waiting outside for the valet And then I said, oh, coach, welcome. Good luck. We know it didn't go well for him. Trestman, Mark Trestman.
Yeah, that's it.
All of a sudden, sometimes the mind is a terrible thing. My brother had a huge crush on Jamie Lee Curtis, according to someone from the 773. One day, going out to lunch, she was on the escalator in back of me. I wanted to get her autograph for him, so I turned around and handed her a $10 bill and asked if she would sign this. She looked at the money, and I explained to her I was going to lunch, and that was the only paper I had. She signed it and then said something to the guy in back of her. She tapped me on the shoulder and handed me 10 and told me to enjoy my lunch. My brother still has her autograph to this day, and that had to be 20 years ago. So, yeah, look at that. Jamie Lee Curtis coming through. All right, on the other side of the news, we're going to do a little science. Yes, we're going to expand our knowledge into the risers because on August 21st, a very, very big event is happening, and it's happening here, and it's really happening, Roger, at our alma mater. So we'll hear from somebody from the Adler Planetarium. We'll talk all about the big solar eclipse. We'll do that on the other side of the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio and then wonder what happened when the machines take over. It is 7 o'clock with the news. Here's Roger Badish. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. In case you're wondering, no, Karen Conti will not be joining us tonight to answer your legal questions, so you're going to have to make do on your own for a week. Karen will be back next week. Coming up on August 21st, something very, very exciting is happening because you'll be out in the middle of the day and suddenly it's going to get real dark and you're going to think, oh my goodness, what's happening? Is it the end of the world? I don't think so, but it is a solar eclipse. And I don't really know too much about science. That's why I turn to people who really do. A master educator and astronomer from the Adler Planetarium, Michelle Nichols, is in the studio with me. Michelle, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, let's start with the basics, because people probably know this, but for those who don't, what exactly is a solar eclipse?
All right. A solar eclipse happens when the moon passes directly between the Earth and the sun.
Okay.
So as seen from Earth, the moon will block out part or all of the sun. Here in the Chicago area, actually, I have to correct you on one thing. When you said it's going to get dark, believe it or not, here in the Chicago area, even though 87% of the sun will be covered by the moon, which is quite
a
bit. That's a lot.
That's a lot of sun.
You still won't be able to tell that it's any darker.
Really?
Our sun is deceivingly bright, and you have to cover up.
So 87%, yeah, and it'll still be.
It'll still look like a regular day. There are two things. The lighting might look a little off to people if you don't know what's happening. You kind of go, something just looks odd, and you just can't put your finger on it. But also, shadows are going to look sharper. Right around 1:20, a little after 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 1:20, 1:19 is when it peaks here in the Chicago area. And then maybe till about 1:30, 1:40, somewhere around there.
Why is that? Why do the shadows look sharper?
So think of all parts of the sun as light coming out and making a shadow. Every little bit of the sun essentially makes a shadow.
Right.
And so when you have this extended disk of something making light and all that stuff making shadows, you have nice dark shadows with fuzzy edges. And then if you cover up most of the sun, you're decreasing the amount of the sun making shadows. And so you're essentially making the sun be kind of a little slit in the sky.
Okay.
And so that will make the edges of the shadow sharper.
Wow. All right. So that will be discernible. You said the light might not be, we might not notice a difference, but the shadows we should be able to, if we pay attention, we should be able to tell the difference.
You'll definitely notice that.
Okay.
And what I want everyone to do is find a tree, because by that time you'll have little holes in the leaves, maybe little insects of two little holes, or you have spaces in between the leaves, and those spaces and holes are going to act like little pinhole projectors and make images of the eclipse on the ground. So we will have little eclipses everywhere.
Oh, that's very cool.
Under trees. And so that is a great way to see the eclipse if you don't have proper protection for your eyes.
Let's get into that since you brought it up. What is the proper protection? Because I see some of the, at Adler, when you got on that day, you'll be giving out proper eyewear. What is the proper eyewear? And if people aren't coming to the Adler, what should they do?
So proper eyewear is glasses essentially that are are made for specifically looking at the sun. Oh. And this is material that is safe for solar viewing. This is not your sunglasses. Okay. This is not putting a couple of pieces of exposed film together.
What about like a welder's mask?
A welder's mask, you can use number 14 welder's glass specifically.
Okay, number
14. Okay. And it needs to say number 14 on it. If you go, oh, I'm a welder, I don't remember what this is, then don't use it, because you don't want to take the chance. This is not the time to play around with your eyes.
Why can we look at, we can't stare at the sun, obviously, on a regular day, but we can look up and, you know, we've all had the sun in our eyes. Why can we do it like tomorrow, but we can't do it on August 21st?
Well, you really can't stare at the sun.
No, you can't stare at the sun.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
you can
glance
look at
up,
it. Yeah.
And you have this automatic reflex that your body does to cause you to turn away.
Right.
In order for you to stare at it, you have to override that, and we don't recommend people do
that.
No. That's why you need the proper eyewear or making a safe pinhole projector.
So those were, I remember now. Second thing before we get to the pinhole, because I remember the last time there was an eclipse like that, it was 30 some years ago. Right? Was it 1977?
79.
Okay, because I remember being in high school when this was happening, and there was the everywhere make these pinhole things where you get a shoebox and you poke. What is that? Is it just deflects the sun? What is that?
So the pinhole itself is acting like a lens. The pinhole creates a focused image of the sun. So it's never anything you want to look through. Okay. It's an image you want to project onto a screen. Like stick a pinhole in an index card or a paper plate or a piece of aluminum foil and project it onto a white piece of paper, another paper plate, another index card, something.
Okay.
And the farther you move those two things apart, the pinhole and the screen, the larger the image will be, but also the dimmer it will be. So it helps to do it with the shoebox or a large box or a mailing tube or something, because you can make it a little darker inside that and see the image a little better.
Now, we mentioned 1979 was the last time we saw one here, but there's a this one is a little is different in some way, correct?
Right. So in 1979, what happened was that was the last time a total solar eclipse touched the 48 continental United States.
Okay.
So what's happening on August 21st is a solar eclipse, a totality is touching 48 continental or touching part of the 48 continental United States. So there have been other solar eclipses since then, but that was the last one that touched some of the 48.
Okay.
And so, yeah, go ahead.
No, so you said totality, which we obviously means the moon is going to block all the sun. You mentioned 87% in Chicago. Now, I know the place where they're saying it's going to be completely blocked is Southern Illinois.
That's
so
part of it.
Carbondale,
yep.
Macanda, that area. So you said before, okay, here we're not really going to know that much. We're not going to tell light the difference in the light. Down there where it's completely blocked, will it change how the day looks down there?
It will not only change how the day looks, it would change your life if you saw it. And I'm saying that with all honesty and because of personal experience. I have seen a total solar eclipse. It was 1999. The moon completely blocked the sun. It got dark enough to see stars in the daytime. You can see you can see the sun's outer atmosphere. It's called the corona. Okay. It's only about as bright as the full moon, which is why we can't see it on a normal day.
Yeah.
It's there. It's just the blue sky is just too bright to overcome that. And so you block out the main source of light, which is the sun. The corona can then shine. And
wow.
I saw one of these. I was with a bunch of Adler staff and a bunch of our members and guests. We were on a couple cruise ships in the Black Sea, and it was life-changing. I was given a very valuable piece of advice, and that was stare at totality. When the moon completely blocks the sun, it is 100% safe to look at. So you take those solar viewing glasses off if the moon 100% blocks the sun.
100%.
I'm making that totally clear.
Yes.
And then you get to see all this, and you viscerally understand at that point why people were terrified of these things if they didn't know one was coming in the past.
Yeah, that would be terrifying. It gets that dark, and you're seeing stars, as you said, in the daytime. What other? Because we're going to get into Chasing Eclipses, the temporary exhibit that's happening right now at the Adler Planetarium. But in that description, it talked about birds being quiet mm-hmm. and everything changes, not just the light.
Right. And so that's actually something we didn't get to experience
because we were at sea. Right.
But the sea was completely calm that day. But and this is what I'm looking forward to, because I'm going to be in Carbondale with a few other Adler staff and several tens of thousands of our closest friends. And so I'm looking forward to feeling the temperature drop, which did happen then as well.
Okay.
Hearing the birds chirp or not, hearing insects chirp or not, seeing what wildlife does or not, and just experiencing all of that is something that is just going to be brand new, even though I've seen one of these before.
Michelle Nichols is with me. She's a master educator and astronomer at the Adler Planetarium. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about what's happening at the Adler, Chasing Eclipses, an exhibition that they have going on right now, what's going to be happening at the Adler on the 21st, and since you brought it up again, and we've been talking about it, Adler is also partnering with Southern Illinois University, so we'll talk about what's happening all over. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. More with Michelle on the other side. It's WGN. Michelle Nichols is with me. She is from the Adler Planetarium. We are talking about the solar eclipse that is happening August 21st. If you're in Chicago, the moon is going to block out about 87% of the sun. But if you head down to Southern Illinois, Carbondale, total eclipse of the sun. Almost like a Bonnie, one of those songs, Total Eclipse of the Heart, the Total Eclipse of the Sun. Now, the Adler has been planning on this for a while, and in March, you opened a temporary exhibition, Chasing Eclipses. Tell us about what's going on with that exhibit.
So with Chasing Eclipses, we encourage people to actually do exactly what the title says. Go chase an eclipse, because we want people to try to experience one of these. If you've seen a lunar eclipse, which mm-hmm. A lot of people have, we had four in a row recently.
There seemed like there were a lot.
Yep, and they're fantastic. They're wonderful.
Very cool.
They're beautiful. But it's nothing like a solar. And this is one of those really amazing and rare experiences, because a point on Earth sees a total solar eclipse on average about every 375 years.
Wow.
So,
all right. So
yeah,
you're making this seem more urgent, Michelle. Like,
yeah.
We really can't ignore it. People be like, I don't care. The sun's getting blocked by the moon. Who cares?
Right.
It doesn't really happen. You said the next one is when?
The next one after August 21st is in 2024. It's April of 2024.
Right.
And actually, Chicago is going to be a little closer to the path of totality. It's going to go through Indianapolis. And so we tell people, hey, come down to Chasing Eclipses and see what it's like. Experience a little bit of what totality is like. Go see what people have done in the past decades and centuries, because this is not a new thing to go chase eclipses. It has been happening for a long time.
And that exhibit is included in the price of admission.
Absolutely.
It's not a separate thing. So you go in, you see all the other wonderful things at the Adler Planetarium, and then you go in and check out Chasing Eclipses. Now, I know the Adler has a lot planned for the 21st. What's going on? Even though we're getting ripped off, we're only getting 87% of the sun blocked, which, a little bit of a jip. But it's still going to be very cool. So what's the Adler doing?
So if people can't make it to totality, to the path of totality, somewhere in the United States where it's happening, please come party with us at the Adler. Yeah. We're expecting a whole lot of people. We're going to hand out solar viewing glasses. We're going to watch the live feed from NASA and various places across the country. We're going to have some lawn games, some music, some food. It's going to be a huge party outside. And if you can't join us because you have to work downtown that day, come join us in Daly Plaza. We won't have the food or the music, I don't think, but we're going to be still handing out glasses so you can come and see the eclipse.
Oh, cool. So you've got that satellite location over at Daly Plaza. Everything's happening at the Adler. And how is the Adler involved down at Southern Illinois?
So we've been helping out Southern Illinois. They called us about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and said, hey, do you want to help us with our eclipse event? We said, sure.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Yeah, why not? And so we've been helping them plan the events that they've got planned for the football stadium. So that'll be one of the main viewing locations. They're going to have a science, technology, engineering, math fair. They're going to have a art and craft fair, a carnival, music.
Wow.
There's stuff going on downtown. So Carbondale is going to be hopping. And Carbondale, I would say, for the first time eclipse chaser, that's where you want to be.
That's the place to go. And this may be a dumb question, but we don't know the weather on August 21st. What happens if it's one of these stormy, cloudy days? The eclipse obviously still happens, but we might not see it, right?
Yeah, here's the amazing thing. if it's cloudy for a lunar eclipse, you will not see a thing.
Okay.
If it's cloudy for a solar eclipse, it will still get really dark. You will still experience that part. And so that's what I keep telling myself.
Oh, so even if it's raining,
even if it's raining, it will get really dark, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's light when, you know, when we're having storms and things during the day.
Yep. So, and so same thing. So it's going to be the moon's going to cover the sun. It's going to be dark enough to see stars in the daytime. And then if you add clouds on top of that, it's just going to be an extraordinarily dark day.
Oh, well, that sounds that.
For about 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Long, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's what I want to ask. How long does this last? Because are we going to be thrown into darkness for, you know, days?
Nope. So the eclipse here in Chicago, the eclipse will start at about 11:54 in the morning.
Okay.
The peak time is about 1:19 p.m. It ends at 2:42 p.m.
Okay.
In Carbondale. Those times are roughly the same. It's different by a few minutes. And then the time of totality is about 1:19, 1:20 p.m. People can look up exactly what time it is. And then the time of totality is 2:40.
Wow. And again, that's the only time. And you can't do it here, so we shouldn't even bother telling people. Downing, if you're there, once the sun is completely blocked... And I know I read some of the things. They will guide people at the if you're at the SIU football stadium. They will tell you, okay, now you may take off your glasses. Now you need to put your glasses back on. Up here, let's reiterate, there's never a good time. You can never take the glasses off.
Absolutely. Keep those glasses on if you're looking at the sun.
Right.
Otherwise, if you're looking around you, then take them off because they're really, really dark.
Oh,
and
man.
So the only thing that you're going to see through those glasses is the sun. So it's not like you want to be driving around with the glasses on or walking around with them on. So if you're going to look at the sun, put the glasses on.
And again, at the Adler or at Daly Plaza, you guys are providing people with those glasses.
We are till supplies run out.
Very nice. We've
got a lot of glasses.
So now... You mentioned this path of this eclipse is heading from the northwest down to the southeast. Next one you said is going to be opposite, kind of southeast up to the southwest to the northeast.
Yep.
That's all because of the orbit of the moon and the Earth and everything spinning around.
Yep. The moon's orbit is tilted to the Earth's equator at about 5 degrees.
Okay.
And so depending on if this eclipse is going up or going down, you're going to get the eclipse coming from a different direction. So so that's the only reason for that.
And when there's totality, so if you're down in southern Illinois and you're will you be able to see other planets? Will more things become visible in the sky that we would never... You mentioned stars earlier. Will everything be visible during the day?
Pretty much. You'll see several planets in the sky. You'll see several bright stars. But the horizon around you will be lit. So it will look kind of like sunset, but you know the sun is up in the sky. And so that's the kind of weird part. And the sun, the moon-sun combo is going to look like a hole in the sky.
Man, that's going to be wild.
It's going to be
all right.
Cool.
Now, see, and I'm interested, and I figured, well, I'll be here, and I'll watch. You know, why not? I'm going to go outside with my welder's mask, number 14, and then that's the only welder's mask again. And I don't want people to think we're joking about that. Do not look at the eclipse without the special glasses.
And do not go for the cheapest glasses you can find online. There are
Do they have eclipse glasses online? I guess they have everything
online. Yeah, you can get them online. And the problem is we're starting to see counterfeit glasses being sold. And I know they've been sold. There are 4 companies in the U.S. that are producing the great, wonderful glasses. And if you're not sure, and I can give you those names
yes,
if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep, so they are American Paper Optics and Lunt, L-U-N-T, Solar Systems, Rainbow Symphony, and I'm blanking on the fourth one. Hang on, let me think. American Paper Optics, Rainbow Symphony, Lunt, and... Oh, shoot.
That's all. Those are, listen,
on the other one.
They could go for 3.
Yeah, and so there's... One more, and I'm probably going to remember after the microphone gets turned off. But
that's all right.
Anyway, I can give you guys the links to where to get
those.
That
would be terrific.
Yep.
And we'll put it up on the Facebook page.
Yep.
So people can buy them, but only buy from reputable companies. Do not go cut rate. You get what you pay for, and your eyes are worth a couple extra bucks.
Yeah.
Make sure you pay that. If you want any of this information, if you want to find out more about Chasing Eclipses, the exhibition that's going on through January 8th, so you get to go for a while to see to see the exhibition at the Adler Planetarium. It's adlerplanetarium.org. Michelle came up with the name?
Thousand Oaks Optical is the fourth one.
Thousand Oaks Optical, American Paper Optics, Lunt, and Rainbow...
Symphony.
Rainbow Symphony. So those are the only ones you should trust to buy if you're going to buy your Eclipse glasses. So, again, August 21st, if you cannot make it down to Southern Illinois, the Adler is going to be doing all kinds of wonderful things. Adlerplanetarium.org, you can find out all the information. And then, before the 21st, why don't you go see Chasing Eclipses and know what you're going to be watching? Because, as you said, like now... astronomers like you, educators, you guys have studied. You know what's going on. But imagine, as you said, primitive people, all of a sudden, it's dark.
And even though I knew what to expect, I sobbed when I saw the one that I saw.
I can't imagine. Now I'm going to have to... All right, Roger, we got to get on a bus. We got to get down to...
I'm with you. In fact, we can stay in the towers because after this
event...
Yeah,
you know what they're charging for a suite in the towers? $800 for the weekend. That's not bad. If you four people, that's $200 for the weekend. Yeah. That's not bad. And they give you sheets and towels. And you can eat at the dining hall. Well, you got to pay for it, but it's cheap. And you can eat there as much as you want.
But they're tearing the towers down after this.
I know. So it would be bittersweet.
Yeah.
I never lived in the towers.
I did.
I know. Well,
Schneider.
All right. Get three more. Get a few more people.
We'll do it.
Get a few more people. All we'll go. It's a Monday. We're not working.
Yeah, we can. Yeah. You know, enough people work here that went to SIU.
Yeah, we should have a big thing.
Yeah.
We should get a box, have the station. Well, Michelle, we don't need to talk about this
Sponsor
in front of you. Listen, Michelle's here to talk about astronomy and stuff, and we're trying to work on, we're trying to work out free deals. Thank you very much. Adlerplanetarium.org is the website. That's where you can get all the information. Just remember, Chasing Eclipses is the new exhibition, and that is there through January. And August 21st is the big day. You can either go right to the Adler Planetarium and partake in all the fun there, or you can go to Daly Plaza if you have to work. Those are the big things to remember. The other big thing, don't look at the eclipse. It's not going to end well for you. Thank you so much. I hope we get to talk again. This was very enlightening.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
And enjoy your time in Carbondale.
I will.
Most of the places we used to go are gone, so I can't give you any recommendations. But you'll have fun. And listen, you're there to see the eclipse. You're not there to hobnob with the locals. All right. Have fun. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
AdlerPlanetarium.org. News in just a couple on WGN. That's how you get a hold of me,
when
Brian Noonan. Karen Conti is not going to be here today. She is out of town. You know that eclipse is the first day of classes at Southern Illinois, Roger.
Yeah, and I know a couple of people who still are down there.
Yeah.
We could stay at their place for nothing.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. It's only $25 to get a ticket to the stadium for that day.
That's not bad.
No, and you get your glasses, you get your whole big deal. They're going to have all sorts of things going on there. And all of a sudden, I mean, here it'll be cool to a point, but we're only 6 hours from totality.
Yeah, that's nothing. And she said we wouldn't even notice it.
No, we'll notice it in the shadows.
I
want to feel like...
There's other things I notice in the shadows, and it's not an eclipse.
Listen, I live in the shadows 99% of the time. I want to come into the true darkness.
Yeah.
I don't want to be just kind of in the darkness, 87% in the darkness.
Yeah, hey, how was your time in the eclipse? Well, I was kind of almost there.
My shadows were very vivid.
Yeah.
It was still bright as sunshine, but my shadows were vivid. No, I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
So, I already today started trying to figure out a way to
get down there.
Well, to sell it to my wife that I might be bailing.
Well, wait a minute. Again, what's the date again?
August 21st. It's a Monday.
You know, that's close to school's in session. Then they might have a.
I said it's the first day of class.
Yeah, they might have had a football game that weekend. Make it a whole weekend thing.
They wouldn't have a football game before school.
They might.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'll double check their schedule.
All right. Well, you're right. We have a lot of alums here from Southern at the station. So they could get the 20-person VIP suite at the stadium, which includes, eclipse tickets, parking passes for the tennis courts, which are right near the stadium, roof access for eclipse viewing, catering, kickoff event invitation, a lanyard and barcoded credential. Because you're nothing if you don't have a lanyard and a barcoded credential.
Makes you official.
Right, and a gift package with posters and glasses.
I like
so
it.
They could do that. There's 12-person, 16-person, and 20-person suites. And the station could do that, and you could only go if you were an alum.
Oh.
And then, yes. So, you know, these people who, because John Williams is an alum.
Right.
Judy Pilak.
Yeah.
You and me.
Mm-hmm. That's four.
Todd Manley.
Five.
I don't know if there's others.
I think we've got one or two more.
There might be a couple others. And then once you get all the alums all set, mm-hmm. then if there's other seats, then you take those people with. But that's the way to go. There's a couple others. There's stadium club packages, which is a per-person cost. But if we're going to do it, we might as well get the suite.
Yeah.
All right.
Do it the right way. And there is a football game, but not until the 9th of September.
Oh, that's
it's Mississippi Valley State.
Yeah. All right. I figured usually football season doesn't start before school.
I know the marching band's down there then.
Well, yeah, they're practicing.
Well, all right.
And the football team is there practicing, but they're not having a game. I haven't seen a game in the new stadium. I'll have to get down. Now my interest is peaked.
See?
Again, AdlerPlanetarium.org. You can get all the information about the eclipse. Southern has a SIU.edu. You can just put in SIU eclipse in your Google search, and it'll take you right there. They have a huge website devoted to the eclipse, all their different festivities and events, and where you can stay. And if you're a camper, like a primitive camper where you don't need anything but your tent, you can go into Giant City State Park and just camp. You don't need a campsite. You don't need anything. So
yeah.
You can just find an area.
It's a great place.
Yeah, if you're one of those really rustic, hardcore, Grizzly mm-hmm. Adams type campers,
yeah.
Go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I had mentioned before the news that a lot of people do spring cleaning, do summer cleaning. You're trying to purge. Maybe your kids are finally going to school, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to get rid of all their garbage that's been hanging around my house, cluttering things up. My mom, who, despite the complete clutter in her garage, always blamed one milk crate of records that I had left at her house. Well, if it wasn't for these records, you'd have room for one more small box of garbage. It's like all this. Oh, and just so you know, I took those records about 8 years ago from her house.
Yeah.
It just, the clutter just expanded. So I think my crate of records was the plug. And it was like the kid who pulled his thumb out of the dike. As soon as I took that milk crate of records, there was just more room and more junk just flooded in. So that's that. But here are some things that if you own them in the 90s, they may be worth a lot of money.
Ooh.
I know. But I'm looking at these. Well, one, I was not a lot of them are kid stuff, toys, things like that.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I had kids in the 90s.
All right, well, let's see. But
I think I got rid of everything.
Right, and also, if you were like at our house, you had a toy, you played with it.
Right.
Most of us don't have mint condition
stuff.
Oh,
right, like still in the wrapper or box or something.
Yeah. So here, like, all right, for example, Polly Pocket. I remember my daughter having some Polly Pockets around the house.
Yeah.
They were little compact dolls with playhouses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A sealed Polly Pocket jewel case is now worth $600. Some sellers offer sets like a Polly Pocket Dream House for upwards of $500.
Wow.
So we got that. Dave wants to jump in. He's an SIU alum talking about the eclipse. All right. Hi, Dave.
Good evening, gentlemen. I just love this. I'm an alum from 1975.
Go Dogs.
No doubt.
That was a year after me.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, you would remember Das Foss. You would remember Gatsby's.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
El Greco is still there.
I loved El Greco.
What did they just tear down?
Mundo's.
They just tore down one of the...
Mundo's. Well, now it was... Lately, it was
Buffalo,
called Sidetracks.
Right.
But and it was Mundo's it was, beforehand.
I think it was Buffalo Bill's or Bob's even before that.
Yeah, that place.
Yeah. Buffalo Bob's is right by the railroad track.
Yeah, that's the one they just tore down. Yeah.
See, and when I was there, it was called Mundo's, and then it changed its name to Sidetracks.
Yeah.
Well, at Buffalo Bob's, at that time, in 75, it was a pitcher of gin and tonics for $2.50.
Nice. An entire pitcher for $2.50?
Yes. I kid you not.
That's where I spent my Friday afternoons.
Yeah. Just think, if you had $5, if you had $5, you were done. Well, we used to go to TJ McFly's. I don't know if that probably wasn't. Was that there when you guys were there?
I don't remember.
It was at the end of the strip. It was past Boobies up toward PK's.
No, I think that was a newer one.
Well, anyway, they had progressive happy hour. So it would start, and it was 25 bucks, 25 cents a quart.
Woof.
But it was in styrofoam cups. It was horrific. But
we had Eastgate Liquors.
Oh, yeah.
It was great because you could do your laundry and Eastgate Liquors, and there was a record shop right there in this little plaza. It was perfect.
Man, oh man, good I like times. That. So, are you going down for the Dave? Are you going down for the eclipse?
I'm gonna try, but the cabins at Giant City are way booked up.
Oh yeah, everything. So I don't think you'll be. Yeah. You might still be able to find a room in the dorms, but I don't think hotels or anything else you'll be able to find. But Dave, thanks for heading down memory lane with us. We appreciate it. Yeah, I saw those pictures of sidetracks being demolished the other day, and it broke my heart.
Yeah,
that was a die little dump bar.
I loved it. Part of it was there was an upstairs level. The bar, remember that?
Yeah, but it was not really, it was more like a platform than a level. You know, there were like four tables up there, but they were like, oh yeah, the second floor. I'm like, I see the second floor. It's a loft. It's right, you know, it's four tables. That's it. But yeah, they had cheap prices.
Yeah, I loved it. I helped them open up on Fridays.
Did you?
Yeah, because I would help them clean up. Well, at 12 noon, I'd be there because I only had one class on Friday, my senior year. That was a teaching assistant class over in the comm building.
Wow.
At like 5 o'clock.
What a schedule you had.
It was awesome.
Sure, yeah, one class on Friday. But how do you make a 5? If I'm having one class on Friday, I wanted it like 10.
No, it worked out fine. I helped them get the bar cleaned up. I'd get my first pitcher free. I'd milk it till about 4, 4:30, hop on the bicycle, ride over to the comm building, kind of like...
So you learned to student teach drunk is what you're telling us, which would explain then your stellar career in education. Is that what you're saying to us, Roger, that you learned to teach America's youth while under the influence of alcohol? That's what I'm getting from Tom. Is that what you got from that story?
Well, you know, we were talking about meeting our idols earlier, and I think I just met mine.
Sure.
I think this is it.
Yeah, one class on Friday, he's hammered, and then he goes to that class.
Well, I just fit in with the rest of the class.
Of course. It was the 70s. Things were different in the 70s. You know, drop a little acid, learn about science. That's all you got to do. That's what you do. Not you, kids. Say no to drugs. Young Cubs fans outside, this is satire. This has nothing to do with reality. And I don't even think they make acid anymore, do they? Roger, you'd know. You're an addict.
The acid you use in experiments, you know.
Yeah, it kind of would burn through your
bones. Exactly, yeah.
Nice. Margaret is a listener of ours who is down at Southern Illinois, and she said they are giving away glasses at SIU, and the classes are canceled. That I had read.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, because who's going to go to class if there's a solar eclipse?
Yeah.
If I could be in my intro to economics class, or I could be seeing history, what do you think I'm going to do? And maybe I'm not the best one to ask, because I would do any excuse to not go into intro to economics. Oh, it's Tuesday? Yeah, I can't go.
Yeah, right.
I'll go tomorrow. You only have class on Tuesday and Thursday. I can't go whatever. Tuesday. Tuesday's a bad day for me. Can't do it. Cannot do it. All right, so if you have... Now we'll jump back right in. We'll get back to this list. I'm going to take a quick break. Then we'll get back to this list of things that you might have that are worth a fortune. But I also want to get to this because this is right up Roger's nerdy alley. So we've got something that'll... Yeah, I know. I bring it. It was sent to me by our good friend Joey Gelman, who knew that I would have to bring this up with you because it would make me, I would just go nuts trying to figure it out. So a lot to get to before we get out of here in an hour and 15 on WGN. Are you playing all this old music because we're old guys talking about Roger dropping acid in the 70s?
Maybe.
I wasn't dropping.
So just doing pitchers before
teaching.
Before teaching.
Well, I didn't really teach. It was a radio production class.
Okay.
So they were self-directed.
Of course they were.
I just made sure they didn't break anything.
Well, when we're young and we do all sorts of things that we didn't that we wouldn't do now. Yeah. And if you're putting up with punk college kids, you know, pitcher beer's not the worst thing. You know, I like the Dave said the pitcher of gin and tonics for $2.50.
That I didn't know about
Man, that's a deal.
I went to the wrong bar.
Well, he was saying
it was down the street,
whatever it was called beforehand. Mundo's.
No, well, I don't know. It's
Buffalo
I don't remember
Bob's,
that.
It was what was just, it called?
Oh, I was only there on Fridays. The rest of the week, I was busy doing.
You were
other
in
stuff.
Church the rest of the week.
No, the rest of the week, I was at the radio station.
Oh, you're working hard. Look
yeah,
at you.
Fridays was my only time not at the station, and then I recovered enough to go in Saturday mornings.
Look at you.
And sign the station on.
Wow,
it's amazing. I could find the buttons.
Your story is fascinating.
No, it's not.
No, it's not so different from a lot of stories. It's not bad though. All right, here's some things from the 90s. If your kids have them, they might be worth a lot of moolah. We'll just do a couple. We'll do these two because it leads into something else. Pokemon cards.
Oh, yeah.
Still got them.
I'm holding on to those.
Are you?
Yeah, I've got student loans to pay.
Did you have a Charizard?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Says here, they were a rare find. A mint condition Charizard holo card, which are words, three words, I only know one of them. Card.
That's the glittery kind.
Charizard holo card. Oh, like hologram?
Yeah.
Yeah, like holo.
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 Well, it should be H-A-L-L-A then, shouldn't it? H-O-L-O is holo. Yeah. You know, like YOLO.
Yeah.
He only loses out. He only loses out. That's on Girlfriends if you're a guy who's still playing Pokemon. From the first edition of Pokemon released in 99, can fetch more than $5,000. So look in your shoebox.
Yeah.
Look under your bed, fellas.
The one that's worth even more is the one from Japan, and they used to sell them here.
Really?
So they were all in Japanese, yeah.
Well, if you have a complete first edition card set, it can go anywhere from $4,600 to $8,700.
Mm-hmm.
Who's paying $8,700 for a set of Pokemon cards?
People who came late to the game.
The truly obsessed.
Yeah. People who really need their head examined.
I've got a few sitting in the house still.
A few Pokemon cards?
A few sets. And I posted them on Facebook a couple of years ago if anyone wanted to buy them, and a couple of people bought them.
You know it's not Friday, don't you? Did you have a couple pictures before you came in here today?
No.
All right. Are you sure?
I already posted all of them.
Okay.
Go on my Facebook page and see them. Go ahead.
Well, here, do you have Pokemon for Nintendo Game Boy?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Pokemon games for Nintendo Game Boy can also net owners a pretty penny.
Mm-hmm.
Red, blue, and yellow versions can cost several hundred dollars each. A sealed copy of Pokemon Red sold for $405 earlier this year.
Yeah, see, we used them to play. My son played them, so they're not sealed.
Well, no, but the other ones are still going for a few hundred if you have the red, blue, or yellow ones.
Right.
Do they need to be in working condition?
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
I'm not an appraiser.
Yeah.
I would imagine, yes, they have to work in order to have any value.
Then we
if they don't have any value, then if they're broken, then no, they're going to have no value whatsoever. I know, Roger, you probably have about six Furbies lining your bedroom wall.
No, we did not do Furbies, but I know a store that has one.
Right. Really?
Yeah. I was at it the other day with the girls.
A new one or an old one?
Yeah, in a box.
One? Right.
A new one in a box. Well, not a new one, but
they
from
the back.
An original one, I mean.
Yeah, an original one in a box.
Really?
From 1998.
Yeah.
All right. Original 1998 Furby recently sold for $700.
Yeah.
A limited edition from 1998 went for $405. And a working Kid Cuisine Furby, which is where Furby attacks you and turns you into food, which doesn't seem that's why it's a limited edition.
Human sushi.
Because nobody wants to be killed by their Furby. With Furbies seemed like they were going to kill you anyway.
Right.
They were the creepiest toy in the history of toys because all of a sudden those eyes would pop open and they'd start making that little yappy noise. And I was just, oh, man, I think my daughter had one. And thankfully it went to a farm upstate. to live with the dog. Let's see.
That's dark.
It is dark. I'll send a Furby upstate. I don't care. I'm not above it. I'm not. I'm a guy who will not put up with a creepy animal in my house. Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Did you play Yu-Gi-Oh too?
No, just enjoyed the cartoon series.
Okay. A first edition box of Yu-Gi-Oh cards can be worth more than $1,000.
Wow.
I can't believe I wasted all this time playing with these things when I could have just kept them.
See, that's the thing. I know guys who, like grown men, who still collect action figures, but they buy them and they keep them in the package. Like, if you're gonna buy toys, just play with them.
Well, you know, we talked to Bill
Love. But if you're a grown man and you're in your basement playing with toys,
you got issues.
Yeah. So no, Bill Left beyond the pale with his collection.
Right. He's got a lot of stuff that has not been touched. He probably bought it with gloves on.
Right.
And it's sitting in a display case now.
Right. I love Bill Left.
Yes.
He's got some issues. Let's be honest. The guy, you know, he's a great guy. I love him. One of the friendliest guys you're ever going to meet. Very funny. Some severe problems with the obsession over this. That's all I'm missing. This is a lie, Beanie Babies. Because I was the guy.
Everybody
I was the guy who
be.
Was trying to. Oh man, Beanie Babies were going to send Molly to college and buy us a house and get me out of this miserable life. Beanie Babies were going to be my ticket out.
Nope.
Beanie Babies were going to be the way, man. Mm-hmm. Beanie Babies let me down.
You got taken for a ride.
I did. I got plushed. It was horrifying. it isn't worth the fortune you thought it would during the great Beanie Baby craze of the '90s, where I would when I was on the road. I would go into pharmacies and Hallmark stores in little towns across the nation looking for Beanie Babies that we could not find here. I was the saddest human being. Going, you know, I'd be in, like, I forget, I was somewhere in Kentucky in some little town, and there was a Hallmark store, and I was there. Or if I'd see the little heart, like, in some small town, like, I was in Mayberry at the pharmacy looking for Beanie Babies. And then I would excitedly call home using my calling card because we didn't have, you know, we didn't have cell phones. And I'd call my wife and go, oh, I just found the dragon. Oh, really? That's so great. Bring it up. Make sure you don't bend it. Okay. And we bought the little plastic things to cover up the tags so the tags wouldn't get bent. And we had the plastic boxes to put the Beanie Babies in. And then we wised up to a certain extent, and we got rid of all of them but the bears. Because the bears were going to hold their value. That was, oh, we were sure of that. Oh, they were going to hold their value. And we had them stacked in our house in California above the bedroom closet. There was like a big open space. And we just had rows and rows of these bears looking down at us. It was something out of a horror movie. It was like Anthony Hopkins in that movie where the dummy came to life. All these bears stared at us every night. And you know what those bears are worth now? Nothing.
Yep.
Nothing. Not even the $5 each I paid for them. But they say a few might be worth a couple bucks if you still have the tag on them. A Canadian blue elephant. I don't live in Canada. That does nothing for me. $650 in April it was sold for. An authenticated Korean raspberry patty. I don't even know what that is.
A what? Raspberry.
Authenticated Korean raspberry patty.
Never, no.
Well, they sold for $650. Jeez. A wingless quacker, one of about 780 ever shipped, sold for $1,800 in March. And another wingless quacker sold in April, and it fetched $430. Nothing. Nothing. Oh, now I might have this. Beauty and the Beast on VHS.
No, come on. Now, I read that story. I read the story, and there was another story saying that all of that is not true.
Is that true?
Yes.
That this could be an urban myth?
It's an urban
myth. That if you have
myth.
The Black Diamond edition of the 91 film?
No.
Oh, I
read a Snopes
exists.
Or something on that saying none of that is true.
This show is nothing but fake news. I've been discovered. I am mainstream media disseminating fake news about Beauty and the Beast VHS copies.
Oh, how far the mighty have fallen.
Yep, that's it. I was a paragon of truth and virtue until 757, and then it all fell apart. Suddenly, there's nothing left. All right, so you're telling me probably that the Happy Meal toys aren't worth anything either, huh?
Actually, I had a ton of them, and I brought them into a store that buys toys. And they said, oh, those, just dump them over there in the penny box.
Penny box.
Yep.
We had a bunch of them, and it was a Beanie Baby thing, too, when they were, McDonald's was in the Happy Meals giving out the mini Beanie Babies. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we thought those were going to be worth a fortune, too, so we ate our body weight in Happy Meals. And then we realized, one, we had put on a ton of weight, and two, these were worth nothing. And we tried to donate them to a hospital, and they wouldn't take them.
Oh, come on.
I was like, they're still in the little bags. They're sealed. Wouldn't some kids in the, you know.
Want a little Beanie Baby.
Yeah. No, even the hospital. They wouldn't even take them for free.
Yeah.
That's how little they were worth. All my Happy Meals for naught. All right, let's do this, and it's news time. I'm very upset. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Hey, can we pull up that little name check again? There's a part of me that wants to hear it. Just take your time, Tom. Whenever you have it ready, you can just let me know. Karen Conti is not here this week. Usually, Karen joins me after 8 o'clock, and she answers your legal questions. I know with the weather getting hot, you're probably doing things that'll get you into some legal trouble. Karen is out of town this week. She will be back with us again next week, and then she will answer your legal questions then. But if something happens during the week and you need to get in touch with her, it's kconti@kcontilaw.com. That's how you can get a hold of Karen during the week. So she'll be back, like I said, in studio with us next week. Real quick, Roger, I said there was something here that, do you have it? Do you have that, Tom? I just want to hear this again. If you weren't here at the beginning of the show, one, you're late. You're 2 hours late. We've been here for a while.
We give you enough advance.
Yeah,
notice.
Really. You know, please. Every week, 6 to 9, that's how it works. You come in. But we were talking about this, and I'm playing this just for myself right now. This is Bill Murray last night.
I want to thank Brian Noonan for going on.
How's it? Never, you can't hear Bill Murray say your name enough, can
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
And not in a way like, hey, Judge, Brian Noonan is stalking me. This was of his own free will. There
right,
was no
yeah.
there was no malice at all. Yeah. It was just wonderful.
Even though he kind of hesitated there a
well,
little bit.
Well, that was
bit.
For his job. You know, yeah. That was his style.
Well,
his
people punchline. Were waiting to see why he was thanking you.
They knew why, because I was exemplary until I mispronounced his father's
exactly.
his father's last name, not his.
Right.
Bill Murray, I said perfectly.
Yeah.
And I said his mother's name perfectly. I just happened to stumble over the Murray name when I was introduced talking about his father. Yeah. It said Murphy.
Two out of three ain't bad.
It's not bad. And the main guy, I said, you know, I said the name's a bunch. So, really. And I had just been saying Audie Murphy for the last 5 minutes. So, Murphy, Murray, it's all. They should have split him up. I think the center did that to sabotage me because I was getting too full of myself. Because I was figuring I was the perfect MC. Now I'm just fallible. A human man. Roger, this is right up your alley, and it sounds like yours too, Tom, and so good riddance to both of you. Grant Park is going to host an official Pokemon Go Festival this summer.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
A Pokemon Go Festival?
You heard
yes.
it.
There we go.
Yeah, look at yes. Suddenly somebody's interested in the program. your interest in catching ratatatas? What is that?
Ratatas.
Ratatas?
Yeah, those
Isn't
are
that
cheap.
An egg dish?
Yeah, no.
Oh, that's frittatas.
Ratata, it's a rat.
Okay.
That can be evolved.
Sounds like Roger knows more about this
Roger's,
than I ever would.
Roger's freaky.
I know just enough to make me dangerous.
What about a drowsy?
Yeah, I have
what
too
you used
many
to,
of those.
What you used
There's
to be.
Too many around this building, seriously.
There's a lot of drowsies around
a
this building?
A lot of drowsies, and they evolve several
Into
times.
What? Wakies?
Huh?
Into wakies?
No.
Or sleepies?
It's a psychic Pokemon.
A psychic Pokemon. Drowsy doesn't sound like psychic.
Yeah, it
sounds like it should be something that's sleepy.
Can hypnotize you.
All right. Well, anyway, if most of you may have, you know, given up on that, because remember it was real big
yeah.
a while ago.
Didn't Cody go to one overseas yeah. when he was overseas?
Yes, Cody's
yeah.
a knucklehead. yeah, I think he was in Spain. I think he was in Madrid, and he went to some Pokemon Go
yeah.
searching.
It was a big gathering there, yeah.
But anyway, so now you don't hear too much about it. Last July, it was all the rage. Well, now there's going to be a Pokemon Go Fest on July 22nd.
I'll be there.
Are you? It's a well, ticketed event.
What day is that? July 22nd?
I don't know. July 22nd. It's. I think it's
22nd, a, oh.
Yeah.
Well, one way or the other.
You got time? According to Forbes magazine, fake news. According to Forbes magazine, Pokemon Go is being produced by C3 Presents, the same production company that brings Lollapalooza to Grant Park each summer.
Ooh.
Wow. So yeah, you could either go to Lollapalooza or the Pokemon Go Festival. Probably the 3-day passes for the Pokemon Go Festival not going to sell out in
Wait
three
a minute.
Minutes.
I'm not saying this, but here's for, you've got Lollapalooza.
Right.
Or you can go to Pokemon Go and be a la-la-la loser, as Brian might say.
I would never say that.
Why not?
Because I just wouldn't.
Okay, never mind.
Wouldn't have said it. Not even going to let you repeat it. Anyway, it's going to be there. Virtual monsters will be running rampant around Grant Park. Tickets for the Pokemon Go Fest will go on sale Monday, June 19th at 10 a.m. via the festival's website, which is PokemonGoLive.com. PokemonGoLive.com. So you're going to pay money
to
go into Grant Park and chase around imaginary things
no,
with your phone.
I'll go on the fringe for free and pick up whatever I can get.
You think that won't they have virtual fences to keep the imaginary
the
Pokemon
in?
Into the in the
no,
park?
No, they can't do that.
I think they can. Well, they're creating it. They can do whatever they want.
There's tons of Pokemon spots around the Tribune Tower.
Are you telling me that a Pokemon could not go through the
They can't.
Can't be contained by a Pokemon fence?
No, it can't.
I
they can take a station away, but if you can get close enough to a station, you can capture Pokemon.
Well, I'm not condoning people.
I'm
not
at level 28, by the way.
I want you to, if you want to go to there, don't be like Roger. Don't steal Pokemon. Go to the festival and see what's happening.
Okay.
I don't know anything about it. I think it's
more than just catching the Pokemon. They're probably going to have a lot of music, a lot of competitions. You'll be able to do battles with other Pokemon.
Oh, well.
Yeah, and that's how you build up
your
powers.
You know what I think would be good? Just to weed all this out? Mm-hmm. I think if you go there and you want to do battle, you actually have to do battle with another human being. It's got to be like gladiator Pokemon. I want to end this trend right now of grown men walking around with their phone looking for imaginary dragons. So I want you to go in and actually have to battle. You have to dress in the thing, and you have to go
dress
in there.
Like one of the characters.
And then you go and fight to the death.
Okay.
Or you get put in a box. That's if they catch you or can defeat you, you're put in a box and you're just segregated from the rest of the society.
Well, that's not fun.
I think it's a lot of fun. I think it'll show how dedicated you are to your little Pokemon game, wouldn't it? Are you willing to die for your Pokemon?
Oh, my Pokemon have died several times in battle already. And then I just throw revive on them and boom, they're back.
Well, I guess then we'd try that with you.
Okay.
We'd throw some revive on you. I don't know what that is exactly. Well, for you, it's a dollar pitcher of beer.
There you go.
From a dive bar in Carbondale. That's exactly what we'd throw on you. Oh, my goodness. This is bad news if you're traveling this summer. A survey found that nearly 68% of flyers were satisfied with airport security. That's up from around 65% last year. So that's good news. People are happier with airport security. I just flew last week. I'm inconvenienced, as we all are. I get it. But now they may change things. A new policy change being weighed could make airport checkpoint security a little bit longer and make you a little unhappier. I'm wondering, 312-981-7200, when you hear this, is this going to be something that you would put up with? Or are you just going to say, I'm not going to fly anymore? The TSA is testing new screening procedures, taking a closer look at carry-on contents at 10 airports. The changes are going to require us to remove more items from carry-on bags. So, you know, now, what do you got to do? You put your laptop in its own separate tub.
Right.
And it goes
outside
through.
Of the bag.
Right. And that's fine. And you take off your shoes. Now, when
your
I was
belt.
Flying to New Orleans, I didn't have to take off my shoes or my belt. Nothing.
Oh.
Flying home from New Orleans, I had to take off my shoes, my belt, everything out of the pockets, of course. I had to, you know, it was a whole big falderall. Crazy. So, now you're going to have to take everything out. Something some experts are saying is useful. An aviation consultant said, I have no problem with this. Airports where the test is being run include Los Angeles, Phoenix, Las Vegas, Boston, Detroit, Fort Lauderdale, and Puerto Rico. Do we have speaking of Puerto Rico, did we hear about their vote today?
Yeah, they approved it.
They approved to become a state? They want to be a state?
Now it's up to Congress.
Congress is going to say no. Yeah. You know that's not going to happen.
Well, you got to change all the flags.
Well, you'd have to change the flags, but also Puerto Rico is very democratic.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, we'll see.
A lot of Democrats. But so they voted to become a state, eh?
Yep.
Well, we'll see. I had a wonderful time in Puerto Rico. Sidebar. So anyway, at these airports, why stay linear? Linear is easy.
I start at the beginning and then I'd go to the end.
People would put you in a padded room if you were linear.
I see Puerto Rico. I'm going to free associate. I know they're having they were having a big vote today.
Right.
We wanted to see. That's current breaking news.
Boom.
Is it real news, not fake news? That
no,
wasn't fake news.
That was real news.
Real news.
Real news.
All right. That's a good. That's a nice change of pace.
Yeah.
Get some real news on here. At these travel hubs, in addition to laptop computers, all electronics larger than a cell phone, including e-readers and tablets, are going to have to be placed in separate bins for additional screening. If this, they're trying this. So if you have an iPad, if you have a Kindle, any of those, that usually, like I travel with an iPad. So I just keep that in my backpack as I go through, but now I would have to take that out just like people who have laptops do.
Okay.
So they're saying, according to this aviation consultant, overall it's a positive move. Where I'm really concerned is why would we announce the airports where you're increasing security, which makes sense. If you're worried about terrorism, why do you tell people where you're going to increase?
Right.
Listen, if you're a terrorist, you might want to skip one of these 10 airports. Go to one of the others. We're still, half of them, we don't do anything. But these 10, we're going to be cracking down hard. They say public disclosure is not necessary. It could be counterproductive. Sure. I don't know. But it's one of those things. I wonder how effective all of this really is. You know, is it just so we feel good? Is it really helping? You hear reports a lot about TSA missing a lot of stuff. So I do it. I don't complain about it. It's a hat. We all have to deal with the hassle. But I wonder deep down if it's really having any effect. The adjustment to security screening procedure comes at a time, they say, when there's already a ban on laptop use in airplane cabins from some airports in the Middle East. They're saying, according to, again, these consultants, that it may be a bad thing if the laptop ban goes into effect here and if this other sort of thing goes into effect, because people then might stop taking, if you have to do business, if you have to do work, you might stop flying.
Right.
If you don't have to fly, you're going to find another way. Because if you can't use those 2 or 4 hours to get some work done, you know, they're saying it could impact domestic air travel.
I gotcha.
Airlines for America recently projected that traffic will increase by 4% this summer for air travel. I have to take one more flight this summer, and I never look forward to it. But
where are you gonna go?
I got to go to Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
And then drive back.
Oh, it's the daughter?
The pickup. The pickup.
I gotcha.
Which it will happen before the eclipse. So I'll be home well before the eclipse in case we do get to go through the eclipse.
Corporate sponsorship.
flew home from Cairo, Egypt. Somebody from the 815 says 3 weeks ago, and all electronics bigger than cell phones had to go in checked bag. Oh, in the checked bag. Can't even have them in the cabin. You have to have them underneath. So,
interesting.
Well, but okay. Again, I know they scan the bags. So everything has to go. Actually, Puerto Rico has very few Democrats. Not according to some things I read today. Their traditional parties in Puerto Rico are independent of both main U.S. parties. Well, I read some different things today that there were more. You know, they leaned
more Democratic than Republican.
And again, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, it's all fake news. Yeah. Everything's fake news. I enjoy it. I enjoy living in a world where there's nothing real, where there's no more facts, and everything is just craziness. All right, a lot of people out on Michigan Avenue today. It's very exciting.
Yeah,
let's take
that.
A quick break, and then a lot more is happening. We were talking about some different things, and I have another list. I love lists, but I don't think I'll do it. We'll see what we do. I'll decide when we come back. WGN.
Dun, 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 dun,
I don't know what happened.
Oh, there we go.
I know. I'm looking at Tom. He's looking at me like I made a mistake. Listen, you know I'm not above admitting a mistake. But listen, you were flawless. I'll just call Amy after the show and let her know. I don't know. Come on, somebody else's show. Maybe you're not as motivated to do a nice job. No, you've been doing a wonderful job. I'm kidding. Kidding. Because people now will start texting you. That's why nobody wants to work with you, because you're so mean to everybody.
I didn't choose this shift. This shift chose me.
Of course.
Ooh,
that's how it is.
There you go.
You know, it's one of those things. You have to do it. You realize you can't do anything else.
Exactly.
Going back to our security talk and the proposed ban that would have us, not only the laptop ban, where laptops, as we know, in some countries are not even allowed in the cabin. The same flight, the same person who said they flew home from Cairo 3 weeks ago and all electronics bigger than the cell phone had to go in. On the flight from JFK to Cairo, there's no electronics ban, and that flight, they said, was almost full, but only 40% full returning to the U.S. from Egypt. So I'm not sure what to make of that, but it goes toward what one of these experts was predicting, was if that ban goes into effect here in the United States, for domestic flights, you would see a drop in domestic air travel, because people need to get their work done. If you're a business person and you're flying from, I don't know, Chicago to Phoenix, you need that couple hours to get some work done. We'll see. All right, you're a young man, Tom. Do you mind me asking you a personal question? Are you single? Are you married? What's your deal?
I have a long-term girlfriend going on 5 years.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, then, do you remember your first date? Do you remember back that far, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
What did you do for your first date?
We actually went to Comedy Sports over in Belmont or something?
Yeah,
over in that area, and we saw an improv show and had a great laugh. It was Valentine's Day.
Oh,
it was great.
First date was on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a lot of pressure.
There's
a lot of pressure to go out with somebody. Now, did you take her out for a meal as well?
No, I mean, we just went to the show. We had gotten cheap, like, college student tickets.
Okay.
It was like $5 each, and we went and got frozen yogurt afterwards, but no meal.
Well, frozen yogurt is nice.
Yeah, it's very nice.
That's nice. Roger, remember your first date?
Wow.
118 years ago. Yeah. The reason I'm asking is a new study has come. I love studies. A survey that said in this era, and this was from the Trib, the best meal to take someone if you want a second date, the best meal to get them on the first date has changed. Huh. It used to be, well, hold on a second. It's sushi now. That's the
sushi's the second?
Sushi's the one. You go, sushi is first date.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Ugh. Researchers at the dating app, let's see, Hinge. You ever heard of Hinge? Well, you're not dating anymore.
No.
Hinge. There's so many dating apps. I don't know. Hinge. They say they surveyed 8,000 users in big cities. And to find out what sort of first dates tend to lead to second dates, across multiple cities, fried chicken was the meal with the best first date success rate, beating out sushi. I'm sorry, sushi used to be it. Fried chicken is now the number one food if you are going on a first date.
Works for me.
I like a good fried chicken. I'm going to be honest, I never would have thought to do that on a date. You know, unless you're going on a picnic and you get a bucket of chicken. Then you have barrel of fun. Goodbye,
ho-hum. You get messy, you know, if you're getting those big pieces.
You're getting greasy up there. So they're saying 24% said that's the one. Sushi came in second, 19%, pizza 15%, and pancakes, 9%. Yeah.
Pancakes for dinner?
Well, I'm not opposed for breakfast for dinner, but
they didn't say what the date would be. They didn't say the date was at night.
Well, you're right. I'll give
this
you okay.
This could
you're
be
right.
The end of the first date.
Who's going? Hello. Go out for breakfast. Maybe the next morning. Baby, can I get
you
some pancakes?
Stayed out. How do you like your sunrise?
How do you like your eggs? Hey. I'll go get them. Oh my! That is wow. I didn't even think. Look how Roger goes right there. First. He's confessing that he's
been around a while.
You know, all of a sudden he's drinking a lot of beer, and then he's ending his date with pancakes. In the morning?
I was thinking about
it. Are you making the lady pancakes, or are you taking her out for pancakes?
I think you will stay in and make the pancakes.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going to get up after your first date that has ended in tawdry relations, and then you're going to make this woman pancakes.
Yeah, because that shows a different side of you, and you don't
want to look backside cheap. If she walks into the kitchen and you're naked making pancakes, you and Aunt Jemima getting it on in the kitchen.
Right, yeah, well.
Wow.
It's better than being cheap saying, I'll be right back, because then what happens if you don't come right back?
Well, you're assuming you're at her apartment making pancakes.
It could be at yours, too. It doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to leave my apartment with some woman I met the night before.
Leave her right there unless you got other apartments.
I don't know how many stabbing cabins you've got around town, Roger. I'm not sure what your MO is, but
and actually,
wow.
You made me think about it. My very first date was actually prom.
Really?
High school prom. My first real date.
How many pancakes do you have the next day?
Not going to
big
say.
Short stack? Or did you go full flapjack?
Let's just
on
say this. Breakfast wasn't exactly what we were thinking of.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, all right. On that note, wow.
Oh, my God.
Two days.
Proud to select.
10 picks. 10.
The Blackhawks are proud to select.
10 new Blackhawks picked from the best of the best, and you can be there. For the first time ever, the NHL Draft comes to Chicago June 23rd and 24th at the United Center. Enjoy the free outdoor fan fest open to all fans, featuring live entertainment, an inflatable hockey rink, hockey clinics, Blackhawks player and alumni appearances, the NHL Centennial Fan Arena, and more. Visit ChicagoBlackhawks.com for more information.
Yeah, Roger's like, oh, you got quiet? That's because I was picturing him in high school naked making pancakes. I didn't want I didn't want that thought to go through my head at all.
The truth be told, we actually got lost on the way back from the party at night, and we didn't get home till about 8 in the morning, 8, 9 in the morning, so breakfast wasn't exactly what we were thinking of.
Yeah, that's a good excuse. Oh, we got lost. Really? How long have you lived here? Well,
I wasn't driving.
Who was
somebody
driving?
Else, another couple was driving, another guy was driving.
You had no ability to speak up? Was your mouth otherwise occupied?
We were in the back seat.
Sure you were. All right. Listen.
Just saying.
Roger paints a horrifying picture, doesn't he? All right, we've got some fun stories about animals on the other side of the news, and so much more in the final half hour of the big broadcast. But right now it's 8:30 on 720 WGN, and here's a man who'll eat pancakes right off your naked bottom. It's Roger Badish.
And we've got an update on that shooting at 31st Street Beach, which is closed right now. Two teenage boys were shot critically wounded on the south side. They were taken to Northwestern Memorial Hospital in critical condition. As we mentioned, the beach is closed. So far this weekend, five people have been killed, 37 wounded in Chicago, nearly the same as the same weekend last year. Fellow Republicans pressing President Trump to come clean about whether he has tapes of private conversations with former FBI Director James Comey. They also want the president to provide them to Congress if he does have them, or else possibly face a subpoena. Trump's attorney general is preparing for a Senate hearing as the congressional investigation into the president's campaign contacts with Russian officials extends to his cabinet. The father of 9-year-old Olivia Hummels, expected to be charged in the accidental shooting death of his daughter, happened Saturday in Hobart. Her two brothers were also in the room at their home where it happened. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Attention! If you're unemployed or you know someone who is out of work, this message is for you. Now it's time to jumpstart your career with IT Expert Systems.
IT Expert Systems, headquartered in Schaumburg, is the premier IT training and placement provider in the Chicagoland area. IT Expert Systems offers customized IT training that will provide you with the required skills needed to prosper in today's competitive job market.
Class sizes are small, and you'll be challenged with projects that are applicable to real IT settings.
Plus, IT Expert Systems is a WOIA-approved training provider, which means that your coursework is paid 100% by grants. That's right, you have zero out-of-pocket costs.
Set your sights on a better tomorrow with a customized training program at IT Expert Systems.
New classes are forming now, so call IT Expert Systems at 847-350-9034. 847-350-9034. 847-350-9034. Or visit itexps.com. That's itexps.com.
Checking WGN Sports, Cubs over Colorado, winning one out of four games with the Rockies at Wrigley, 7-5 the score there. Cubs travel to New York tomorrow, take on the Mets. That's a night game. Cleveland and the White Sox. Sox losing again to the Indians, 4-2. Sox come home. They will host Baltimore tomorrow night. That's a 7:10 first pitch. At the FedEx St. Jude Classic, Dan Berger wins at 10 under par. Over at the NHL Finals, the Penguins and the Nashville Predators are playing, and let's double-check that score for you. And right now it is in the second period, and it's still tied at zero apiece. And WGN traffic, we're starting to see some clear-up now on those roads out there. The Edens right now clear in both directions. Kennedy, still 26-minute trip from O'Hare to downtown, 21 minutes on the reverse. The Eisenhower is pretty clear right now. So is the Stevenson. Dan Ryan's just some minor delays right now coming inbound from the Bishop Ford. Clear going back out. Minor delays on northbound Lakeshore Drive between Belbo and Hollywood. It's clear going southbound. No delays on the Jane Addams or the Veterans Tollway. Checking the roads in and out of Indiana, that's where we're still seeing some pretty healthy delays on I-94 eastbound from the Kingery to U.S. 20. It's a 23-minute trip, but it's 47 minutes on the reverse. And on the I-80-90 Indiana Toll Road eastbound from I-65 to LaPorte, it's 30 minutes, but 41 minutes going back the other direction. For traffic on the 7s, rates, or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Your forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Mostly clear and windy with an overnight low of 73. Monday, sunny, windy, high near 90. On Tuesday, a very slight chance for a thunderstorm. Pretty much partly sunny with a high near 87. Temperatures around the area right now, 88 at O'Hare, 91 at Midway, 88 also in Elgin and along the lakefront. Lake Michigan water temperature 65, winds out of the south at 15 with gusts up to 23. Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour. I'm Roger Badish on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. All right. If you're just tuning in and you're looking for Karen Conti to be with me to answer your legal questions, Karen is out of town this week. She will be back with us again next week. But if you need her during the week, you can always email her with your questions. Give her all the details at kconti@kcontilaw.com. All right. So she will be back. Got a few. I'm amazed every time I watch my dogs or anytime I watch animals. I don't know why. I like animals. I like seeing videos. There were a couple videos of bears lately on Facebook. A lot of things going on. And I happened to find a collection, and this a little homage to, I think he's still, is Larry Lujack alive or dead, Roger?
No, he died.
He died. Yeah. So I was going to say the late, great Larry Lujack, but then I thought, oh, what if he's still alive?
No, he's passed.
Yeah, Animal Stories. Yeah. I remember he and little Tommy, Uncle Larry and little Tommy used to do Animal Stories. And all of a sudden, I found my pile of prospective things to talk about had a number of Animal Stories. I was like, well, let's all lump them together. Do a little Animal Stories segment.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I'm not Larry Lujack or Tommy Edwards, but we find a few funny stories, and one of them made me, I don't know, one of them is kind of sick, and it made me laugh uncontrollably because I'm 12. So it was good. But here's one. Imagine, I don't know how you feel about the zoos. I know some people protest zoos. They don't like zoos. I'm a fan of zoos, especially big ones like Brookfield and stuff where they're researching the animals. They're taking good care of them. They're trying to protect the species. I have no problem with it. I think it's a good educational tool, and I don't. It's not like circuses and things like that where you can accuse.
They're not performing. They're in their own natural habitat,
and yes,
supposedly.
Well, as close to their natural habitat as they can. They're helping endangered species, and it's a good way for people to be able to see them. And I know some people will argue, well, you could just look on the internet and see. There's a difference between seeing a polar bear on the internet and seeing a polar bear swimming around.
A real live one. Yeah.
So I'm good with zoos, but. There's a show, a summer replacement show on CBS called Zoo.
Oh, I saw that.
Have you seen it
where
the animals? Yeah. Oh, yeah. The animals.
I think the greatest show of all time.
Isn't it the greatest show?
It is the most ridiculous thing I have ever seen.
Unbelievable. The animals get infected, and now the animals are hunting man.
Oh, God.
It's
amazing.
Unbelievable. Every kind of animal.
Based on a James Patterson novel.
Yes.
There is a sequel to.
Oh, really?
As well, yeah. There's Zoo 2.
See, every season, and I've watched the first two seasons of Zoo because I have nothing else to do with my life.
Yeah.
It's one of those shows I have on, like, if I'm doing something else, I'll put Zoo on, like, if we're eating dinner or something.
Yeah.
And because my wife and I just howl all through it.
Oh, it's amazing.
And I keep thinking, they can't bring it back. There's no, but they keep bringing it back. So there's some virus. All the animals, whether it's a fly, whether it's a bat, whether it's an orangutan, all the animals are turning and they're coming after people. And this story reminded me of that, one, because it happened at a zoo, and two, because the animals escaped. A zoo in Hampshire was placed on lockdown after a macaque monkey escaped its enclosure. Yes, the monkeys. Families were ordered to stay indoors while keepers scrambled to locate the animal at the Marwell Zoo. Frantic members of staff ushered visitors into nearby enclosures.
There we go.
The monkeys are out. Angry
Very
monkeys.
Upset.
Yes.
Very upset.
They carried huge nets in preparation for catching the monkey. I picture the cartoon dog catcher nets.
Right.
So the monkeys are running around. One of the visitors to the zoo was visiting with his 4-year-old son. They were locked in the reptile enclosure for about an hour. That to me sounds worse than if a monkey came after me.
Was this Shades of Jurassic Park?
Yeah, I'd take. Exactly. You got these little macaque monkeys.
It's
running
Planet
around.
Of the Apes.
It is. We were looking at the animal enclosures, and one of the employees who said she has been here for a few years, she said nothing has ever happened like this. She's never seen anything like it. She started panicking when the monkey came running down the walkway. Oh, that monkey. You know, I guess I'd be afraid of a monkey, but I did some research because, you know, I strive not to be fake news, so I wanted to learn about the macaque monkeys. They only eat fruit. They're frugivorous. Although their diet also includes seeds, leaves, flowers, and tree bark. Nowhere in there does it say 4-year-olds. But I guess they're, you know.
But wouldn't they try to protect if they felt threatened by?
Of course. Yeah. They could come after you. But if you're minding your own business, I'm going to guess a monkey's going to leave you alone.
Yeah.
That's just me. So she starts panicking. The monkey is quite dangerous, they say, and quite aggressive. All right. It's small but has a big bite. We went into another animal enclosure, and they were chasing it. Chasing the monkey. We were shown to the reptile enclosure for about an hour. It was extremely hot in there. Sure, because it's the reptile house. I hate the reptile house. I avoid it every time I go to the
zoo. Really?
I hate it. Hate snakes. I don't like them.
Have you ever picked up like a boa?
I've touched a snake. Yeah, yeah. No, I don't. Listen, I'm biblical. The snake is evil. The snake is a devil. I'm not playing any games with that. Not being tempted by the fruit of another. I'm not doing any of it. None of it. They say they plan for and train for this in case the monkeys escape. See? I'm not ready if the monkey escapes. Mobile phone footage showed the mischievous monkey running amok in the zoo. Oh, it's like Curious George on acid.
Furious George.
Furious. Oh, bravo, Tom. Furious George. Bravo. We like that one. Running around. Let's see. Visitors watched in surprise. They're all out. They're all out, said one person who was filming it. All the monkeys have escaped. No, it turns out it was just one. More video shows zookeepers following the macaque, which can grow to around 14 kilograms, in a food shop. They chased it into a food shop carrying nets, and then you see the monkey above the window trying to stay away from the keepers. Then you see zookeepers putting the escapee into a back of a van in a small box. Oh, and taking it to a black site like on 24.
Oh, boy.
You never see that monkey again. That monkey's going to Gitmo. That is a Gitmoed monkey. Despite this, zoo-goers did see the funny side of the escape. One man tweeted, taken hostage by a monkey at the Marwell Zoo. Marwell Zoo on lockdown. Monkey escape, wrote another. And they're, again, the other guy's saying they're all out. That would cause a panic. They're not all out. Just one monkey's running
around. It's a harrowing story.
It is a harrowing story. I would be terrified. A spokesman for the zoo said, at about 12:40, two of our adult Sulawesi crested macaques escaped from their island enclosure. So two of them got out. Zoo guests and staff were asked to remain indoors. Two monkeys. Now, did you know this? I bet you did not. That these macaques carry a type of disease that is not harmful to them, but can be fatal to humans.
Ooh.
Yes. Yes.
Well, so there's one reason to stay away from them.
Well, sure. Why would you want to be with a monkey?
I don't know.
All social groups are arranged around dominant matriarchal females.
Smart.
Yeah, you let the ladies run the show. That's so now, listen, you got to laugh, and you got a little knowledge about a macaque monkey. This is why I don't go to Canada, this next story, not because of the monkeys. I don't go to Canada, well, one, because I don't really need syrup. Two, I don't look good on a horse. And three, I have no idea what poutine is. So I never go to Canada. But I mainly don't go to Canada because beavers just roam wild. And beavers scare me more than monkeys, quite frankly. Because monkeys, I think I could reason with.
Yeah, a beaver, you can?
I think so. I think I could reason with a monkey. I don't think I could reason with a beaver. Those big teeth and that tail, that big flat tail coming at me, trying to make me into a dam. I don't think that would happen. Plus, they chow down on just about anything they want.
That's true.
A Regina woman, or do you say Regina? I say Regina, just to be safe. She said she was almost left in the dark on her wedding day thanks to a Canadian beaver. Yep. It really took a while to believe that it was a beaver because it just seems like a really ridiculous thing to have happen. You may be saying, Brian, what happened? A beaver chewed through the phone pole and power line, so the pole drops, takes out power to this whole area, including the resort that this woman is having her wedding at. That beaver.
That's actual audio.
That's actual audio from the scene.
Wow.
We had our man on the street up there, and he was watching the. He didn't get too close to the beaver. He used a boom mic because you can't walk right up on a beaver while they're eating.
No,
they're like a dog. They spin on you.
Yeah.
And then those two teeth, they use them like a can opener. Whack. They just jump right in there. There's some dirty hippie flipping us off out there. Did you notice that? Some dirty
really?
Freak. Yeah, not these guys. Some before. He was filthy. Looked like he stank of patchouli oil and desperation. Wandering back
dad?
From the blues fest. Oh, could be. Could have been your dad. He was holding up a sign. Where's Tom? So I don't know. He was flipping everybody off. So they're there. A tweet went out by Saskatchewan Power, and it showed that the beaver had chewed through a power pole in the area of Maple Creek, which is about 375 kilometers from Regina, in case you're plotting this story on a map. First you've got the zoo where the macaques escaped. Then, if you're from the TV show Zoo, you would be tracking this on some giant illuminated board in a boardroom. So now we're in Saskatchewan, where we're south of Regina, where the beaver chewed through the power pole. He knocked out electricity at the resort at Cypress Hills, which I hear when it's lit is very nice. But in the dark, not too good. Once we realized it was a true story, that it was a beaver, it was just funny, she said. Crews were safely restoring power. After the ceremony, the manager of the venue delivered the bad news about the power outage. She told them that the building's backup generator would be able to provide electricity during the reception unless otters got into it. And then there would be way too much trouble. She said, we were definitely worried, but once they assured us that there would be food and music and a lot of beer, obviously, we really didn't have time to worry. It was such a blur that day that we just kept on going. It was more adventurous that way with no power. Mm. Yeah, it's like a Little House on the Prairie wedding.
Sure.
When the beaver is the one that ruins your wedding, that is definitely Canadian.
I would have invited the beaver. Just be like, hey.
The whole family.
Come on.
How far is 375 kilometers? I don't know metrics. It's a ways. You would have to send a car for the beaver, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Do they have Uber in Saskatchewan?
I think it's just Uber.
Just a moose? Yeah, Uber, eh? You just send a moose out there. The moose picks up the beaver. Then everybody comes in. They're wearing a fox hat.
It would be 233 miles.
233 miles?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. A beaver, this is like a word problem in eighth grade.
Yeah.
If a beaver chews through a power line, 233 miles away, how far should the power be disrupted? That seems a very, very long way from the source of the issue for the power to be disrupted.
But if it's in a remote area,
but I'm saying
that could happen.
233 miles?
Sure. Nothing but trees up there.
What is going on up there, then?
It's Canada.
It's like the Australia of the North. It's not safe up there.
Man, oh, man. No wonder they have to have socialized health care. You got beavers running around. If I lived up there in the middle of nowhere, 233 miles, I don't have electricity for 233 miles because a beaver ate through a pole. I need to be able to get to the doctor whenever I want to.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was a coordinated attack.
Sure. The macaque got out to send a message to the beaver. The beaver cut off the power to Regina.
There you go.
And now
they're all just waiting.
We have to watch. Now, our next story comes from another part of the world. This continent, though. So now we're going to have two, and we'll see what happens. We've got that, and we've got a naked news story all before the top of the hour. So let's get this out of the way, and then we'll do that on WGN. I was just passed a place in New Orleans last week that had a sign on it, the House of the Rising Sun in Algiers Point.
Do we get to sing along?
Do you really want to?
Please don't.
Please don't.
Thank you very much.
Please don't, she said. She said. Please don't. Oh, my goodness. That was very nice. That was very nice indeed.
Thank you.
Oh, there it is. Why is it? Oh, there it is.
Thank you.
It won't play.
I just had it stuffed.
Let me help you with that.
I was supposed to say nice beaver. All right, we're continuing on with our fun. We've got some texts coming. I love when we're doing silly, and then the texts start coming in about that. Yeah. Eat a beaver, save a tree. Hey, Brian, love your show and your banter with Roger. Monkeys are pure evil. My friend had one, and he was the devil incarnate. He destroyed her house and bit her so badly she was scarred for life. I hate them, and they smell real bad. Why would you have a monkey in your house?
Yeah.
I feel bad for your friend. That's horrifying. But at some point, it's like, you know what I have in my house? I have a man-eating cougar. Oh, really? Yeah. I just drive around with it. I'm sorry, Tom. There you
well,
go.
Well, if I may make a point, is it really any that different?
I don't think we need points made. Are you going to use logic?
What I want to say.
Are you going to use a logical argument?
Is it really any different from having, like a toddler in your house? It's just as destructive.
Yeah, but the toddler's not going to rip your face off.
I don't know.
They both will fling their poop. I'll give you that. Okay. All right, similarities. Both will fling their poop. You can't reason with either one of them.
No.
The toddler probably not going to, crawl up the drapes or get on top of the cabinets. Their climbing ability a lot less, especially a pudgy toddler. We've all seen the real pudgy toddlers.
Oh, yeah.
That look like really short sumo wrestlers. Those toddlers aren't going to be climbing up anywhere.
And they fall a lot.
They do fall a lot. Yeah. Monkeys have much sharper teeth than toddlers.
And they fly through the air.
Right. Toddlers, you can, I don't know. Toddlers, you can train to not do those bad behaviors. Monkeys are always going to have bad behaviors. Don't tell me, oh, Brian, I put my monkey in a diaper. Because, you can't put your monkey
anything.
In a diaper. No, it's still a monkey.
Two words, wild animals.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't we remember the stories coming out of those where the chimpanzees go crazy and then they wear people's heads like hats?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any of that going on in my house. This is
last week.
Enough trouble as it is.
I do have enough trouble. I have two dogs that I know one day will turn on me again because watch Zoo on CBS.
There you go.
And so do they.
We have just given that show more publicity than CBS has given that show.
More people need to watch it. It is incredible.
If you want an hour, it's the worst show ever, but you can't stop watching it. Because now some people have been infected by the virus that has taken over the animals. The mother gene.
Oh, really?
Something like that.
Growing fangs?
Something. No, they're turning into crazy hybrids.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, like a hybrid animal man with superpowers.
Wolfman. Worse than Wolfman.
Wolfman you could reason with. And Wolfman would change back. The hybrids don't change back.
No. Oh.
Once they change, they're changed.
Oh.
Then you got to drop them.
God.
With a big hammer. This is a story that made me laugh uncontrollably, and it's so wrong. And I'm going to tell you, I'm telling you up front. If you're queasy, you might want to take a break for a couple minutes. I don't know why I laughed at this, but I did. Flock of geese poops on Disneyland party.
Heading south for the winter.
Geese dumped a very unmagical surprise at a group of Disneyland visitors on Friday. Police say 17 people were struck with poop as a flock of birds flew over the theme park in Anaheim, California. It has now become the crappiest place on earth.
Oh, yep, I know.
That was such a bad pun. I debated that pun all day.
Yeah.
Once I saw this story, and I went, "Well,
took you
that's
all
why."
Of what?
Well, that's why I waited till 5 to 9 because I figure I would do that, and then we'd lose credibility.
Right.
But Rick Kogan comes on after 9, and then the credibility will be back on the station.
Right. Oh,
so
I
that's
see how that
that's
works.
Why I didn't do it early in the show.
You didn't want to have a whole show of no credibility.
Right, I did the highbrow stuff for the first 2 hours and 50 minutes, and then I brought in the low-rent stuff.
You really made Bill Murray proud.
Sure.
This is why.
This is exactly why. I don't know if you heard, Bill Murray gave me a shout-out.
He did.
I don't know if you heard about that.
That's, like, totally awesome.
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah. It was weird.
Poor if you Tom. Need us to stroke your ego again, we can play it.
Oh, yeah, I wanted you to play it again.
Oh, yeah.
I want to thank Brian Noonan for going on.
There we go.
For going on
with this poop story, sure. Hazmat crews were called into Disneyland because of the goose poop. Hazmat crews attended an area near the Sleeping Beauty Castle. Oh, man. We've all been to Disneyland or Disney World or something, and you're there and it's like, oh, this is the greatest, even though your kids are screaming and you just dropped a mortgage payment to get everybody down there. And, you know, a pop is $700, but you've got your mouse ears on and you're having fun. And then all of a sudden, oh, my goodness. Hazmat crews were called following reports that 11 adults and 6 children had been, quote, hit with fecal matter. The Anaheim Police Department tweeted out with at Anaheim Fire Department at Disney, no crime occurred. Guests hit with fecal matter appears to be geese that flew over, no injuries. And then they updated their tweet. 11 adults and 6 juveniles impacted. No injuries and no transports. We didn't have to take her to the hospital for the all guests are healthy and happy. Well,
I think
you've taken poetic license there.
Yeah.
Little editorial freedom with happy, healthy, maybe happy.
That's debatable.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. The hazmat crew, if they're dealing with the geese,
well, the geese are gone.
They, right, but
geese were hit and run. It was forget.
The
about
hazmat
it.
Crew had to wear special uniforms. Did they all have?
I would
Donald
love a
duck faces.
Yes, a Disney hazmat suit looks like Goofy.
No, I thought it was Donald Duck with the geese, the ducks, and the geese, and the.
See where you're going.
Yeah,
could be. All right,
all right,
all right. We'll paint your little picture. That's fine. They all look like ducks. I don't care. Officers soon determined that the geese who'd flown over. That's why there was no fecal matter. No crime occurred. The park staff. This was nice.
What?
Of Disney, they let people who had been pooped on get themselves clean in a private restroom.
Oh,
that's very nice. And they also gave them clean clothes so they could return to the park.
That's nice.
That was nice of them, wasn't it? That was very nice. That was very, very
I could just see now, though, the security measures now to prevent that from happening again. There will be an invisible electronic fence that will rise maybe 3 miles up in the sky.
Like a
all
dome?
All the way around, yeah. All the way around the park.
You can't dome in Disneyland.
Why not? They can do anything at Disneyland.
That was another horrible summer show on CBS, The Dome.
But yes, my that wife gave, loved it.
No, that oh one I gave God. Up on after the first
Almost
season.
Almost as bad as the book.
She loved it.
I did the book? Oh,
not
I didn't
Stephen
read
Stephen King.
I did, yeah, I didn't read. I watched the first season of The Dome. That was when I said, no, I'm not coming back to this
Watched
one.
The
no.
first 5 minutes of it. It was, she watched the whole thing.
How many seasons? There were a couple seasons
like
of The Dome.
Like three years, yeah.
That just shows how desperate we are for entertainment. And you could have read the book. You could go outside. Well, not after that story.
No.
I'm not going outside with wild geese flying over and macaws and beavers. So I'm telling you, we're not that far from the entire animal kingdom turning on us. Zoo is a great show, according to a texter from the 773. Only 18 days till the season premiere. So counting it down. I wonder if there's a big countdown clock in their house.
Oh, I can only
the zoo
imagine.
Countdown clock.
Some nice big lion face.
No, I'll be watching because how do I not now?
Yeah, you're too invested.
I'm invested two seasons. So now I have to get involved, even though it does scare me because every time I watch it, I think that the dogs are listening. And I think my dogs are taking hints from...
They are listening.
Sure, they're listening.
They
and
know
the dog. The dog at some point is going to just go, well, if it's good enough for TV...
Yeah.
We're tired of this guy telling us when we can eat and when we can do this. We want to eat whenever we want.
Yeah.
We know where the food is. We know how to get out there. I can work the doorknob at some point. That's why I put my doorknobs really high.
Mm.
It's not to kid-proof the house.
Right.
It's so that when my dogs decide to take over, they can't get anywhere. They can't
get stand
the food.
On their hind legs, you know.
Nope.
You got big dogs.
They're not that big. Somebody's taking a nice picture outside, taking it into the
people.
Studio. Sure, I'm going to photobomb them.
There you go.
Yeah, it's good. How's does Amy do stories about geese pooping on people? I always like to talk to producers from other shows. Not that I'm going to change the way I do things, but I always like to just say, "Oh, I wonder what's going on." Because usually Saturday night when Amy's on, I'm doing Tony and Tina's. I've got I'm doing stuff, so I don't get to listen to the Saturday night special from 7 to 9 on WGN. But does she ever do those kind of stories? I love Amy very much. She's a very smart woman, very talented as well. I don't see that being a story that she might do.
No, she's a little bit more literature, social issues, things of that nature.
She's books and social issues. Yeah. I'm Zoo the TV show and geese pooping on people.
Hey, it takes all kinds. Takes all kinds to make a radio station.
Oh.
Bring this kid back.
Yes, I like the way you think, Tom. Even though we know it's a complete load. But thank you, Tom, for being with us today. Thank you as always, Roger. And we'll be back with you. I'll be back with you Wednesday night at 7, sitting in on the Justin Kaufman Show. No goose pooping stories that day, unless a whole rash of them happen between now and Wednesday. But Rick Hogan comes your way on the other side of the news. Thank you for listening and being part of the program.